Hello, welcome back to another episode of Oi with the Terror. I'm one of your hosts, Danielle.
And I'm your other host, Sandra. Do you have an oi or an ooh?
I guess the ooh is that we're going to see Chicago this weekend.
Woohoo!
That'll be fun. Yeah. And Jinx is in it. Jinx Monsoon is the mama person, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
The jailer lady?
Yeah. Hold on.
Played by Queen Latifah in the blockbuster film.
Yeah. That's gonna bug me.
I'm gonna say mama.
It's mama something, and I should know this. And I don't know why I don't.
Sandra's an avid Broadway follower.
Yeah, but now I feel kind of like a poser because I should know this off the top of my head, and I don't. Oh, Mama Morton.
Okay.
Matron Mama Morton. That's it.
So it'll be good spending the day in New York and bagels, that's, pizza, something else.
Yeah, everything. Everything. Just feels like it tastes better in New York sometimes.
It's all the salt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I miss New York. It's been a while, so a day is going to be good.
Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long day, but it'll be good. We'll mostly be sitting, so it'll be fine. But yeah. Do you have an oi then? Or not really?
No.
Wow. I didn't know you could hit that note. All right. I guess I'll go on to mine. I guess my ooh was New York, but also I baked over the weekend. So that was really exciting. I made scones.
Oh, wow. Which
I haven't made in a really long time, and they were really good. So I brought some into my coworkers today because now I have an excuse to bake because it can go to them too. It doesn't just have to sit in my apartment. So
is that like because you're in the whole Irish mindset now that you thought of scones?
Yeah, and I just was like kind of craving them for some reason. And I also did buy my plane tickets for Ireland, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm going in May, so that'll be really, really fun. Yeah, maybe I am in just like the Irish mood because I've also been craving tea, which I don't usually crave. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're not a big tea drinker.
I'll definitely take it over coffee, but I have to be like in the mood to like have tea or hot chocolate. So
I keep like thinking I want hot chocolate, but then I'm never like, yeah, I don't know why lately. I think it's because it hasn't been that cold, which is like, if it was really cold out, it would definitely be more of a hot chocolate vibe.
Yeah.
It's been like 40s, which is weird for almost February. Yeah.
It's just, it's been too warm. We usually have a good like one or two snowstorms by now, and we've had like half of a snowstorm.
Have you heard the theory that we're going to have, it's going to be like as bad as a few years ago with that snowstorm from February? That's what people are saying.
No, I don't want Snowmageddon.
Yeah.
I want a snowstorm, but I don't want Snowmageddon.
Record snowfall in Boston.
I hope it doesn't hit at the end of February, because that's when my mom is coming to visit. She's staying with me for a week. So that'll be fun. So hopefully it doesn't hit around that point.
I have a feeling if it happens, it'd be like mid-February. Maybe. But who knows?
I also feel like even though February is the shortest month of the year, it always just drags on and on and on.
Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't want to have a February birthday.
No. Sorry to everybody that does have a February birthday. And you live in the Northeast.
Remember the person from our school who had a leap year birthday?
Male or female? Because there were several that
two. Did. Two. Well, one meal. Yeah, two I can think of, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. But I always thought, like, having a leap year birthday, at least that's kind of cool.
Oh, like, you'll always have, like, a fun fact for, like, an icebreaker.
Yeah, because you can be like, yeah, like, I am technically, like, I don't know, 28, but I'm really, like, 6.
Yeah. Like, you have 2 different IDs.
So, I don't know. Or maybe it's because my birthday is in March, and then February just feels like it drags on.
You're so excited for your birthday.
I'm starting to get there. So that's progress. But also, my sister's birthday is tomorrow. So, Morgan, if you're listening, she usually does happy belated, well, by the time this airs, happy belated birthday. But I hope she has a good day. So,
do you have an oi as well, or just an ooh?
I think the oi is just realizing how much the airlines just, like, scam you on fees and crap that you're like, I guess I need travel insurance, like, in case something happens to me. And, like, sure, I'll pay $60 to have an early seat selection. But at least I get one piece of luggage free, so.
That's why they all have, like, reward systems, too. It's like, oh, do you travel a lot? Then I guess it's worth it, but. I definitely don't fly enough for that.
No. I used to. I don't anymore. I'm like, no, I'm good. Just let me. Because, like, I got to the point where they were like, oh, you can pay, like, an extra. You've already paid $60 for the seat, but you can pay, like, an extra 80 for, like, a better seat. And I'm like, no, just give me the free seat. I'll take that. That's fine.
I want to do first class once. But I don't know when. Yeah, at least try it. Definitely a longer flight to make it worth it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it on, like, a trip to Ireland because that's only 6 hours. That's, like, not quite long enough. But I do have friends that live in India, so if I were going to India, I might pay the extra $1,000 to be like, I want to be comfortable.
Or if I ever go to Bali, that's a longer one too. It looks really pretty there.
Or Singapore, I definitely. Would find a way to pay, like, first class for Singapore, because that's a long-ass flight.
I think that airline's really nice, too, I've heard.
Yeah. So, I just think of Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a funny movie.
One day, I want to be able to turn my flight seat into a bed, so it's, like, a little cocoon.
Oh, my God, those, like, pods? Those look so cool. Yeah. You can have a little divider thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that looks really nice.
There was one time when my sister was on a flight from London to New York. This was years ago, because I think she was, like, mid-20s. And the flight was so, like, had such horrible, like, turbulence that the captain came on and was like, for those of you that are using the foot massager or, like, the foot spa, please make sure to turn it off now because we're experiencing bad turbulence. And she was just like, who the hell on this flight has, like, a foot spa? But it's the first class people that are on, like, the top deck of the plane.
Oh, it's a double-decker plane? Wow.
It's like, damn.
That's cool. Yeah. That's, like, the future.
I would like to have, like, a foot spa when I fly. That would be great.
Yeah. I would like to have one at my house.
All right, well, I know what to get you for your birthday next year.
Actually, do I have, I don't know, my parents had one, like, you plug it in and it's like a foot bath thing.
Yep.
I mean, my ultimate goal is to have, like, a bathtub with jets in it. I don't know if that's gonna happen here at our next house, but, like, get, like, a nice tub. So
yeah, those are nice. I had one growing up. It's very nice.
That's where I started getting my goal after seeing the one you had.
Yeah. Well, that bathroom also was, like, super from, like, definitely from the 1980s. Just how it's, like, laid out. So, but yeah, no, that's a very nice goal.
Yeah, I don't think it's probably gonna be as big as the one you had, because that was like a corner one, like a, like, square shape.
That was like a jacuzzi tub.
Yeah. And you had an outdoor one too.
I don't realize how, like, bougie my life sounded until, like, these conversations, and I'm like, but it really wasn't.
I mean, I try persuading my mom to get a nice bathtub, but she doesn't like baths. Mm. So she was totally fine with just having like a shower situation. And I was like, but think of what you could have, aka me. But she never bought into it.
Well, the only reason my parents, because there's two bathrooms, the one with the jacuzzi tub that we don't use anymore because it's like nobody uses it. Then we have the other bathroom with another tub. And the only reasons my parents kept it as long as they did is for resale value, because your house sells more if you have a tub.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice touch.
Than if it doesn't. So I'm like, no, that totally makes sense. Why people still kept bathtubs even like for our age, because it's a good resale value for like a family that needs it.
Right, yeah. House goals.
No, I was just going to say like your house is nice though. It's very cozy. Mm,
it's all right. I don't know. I like the size of our bathroom, the downstairs one. I'm not crazy about the bathtub, but I guess, I don't know. I guess I should be happy we have a bathtub, but the kitchen makes me sad. Definitely like our like big house project at some point to change the kitchen. But that's not going to be anytime soon.
It's nice because it's so big.
It's a good size. It's just like how it looks.
You'll get there. I mean, you already have a new dishwasher, so.
Yeah, we think the next thing that might die is the fridge. And apparently it's a especially skinny fridge, so it seems like we probably can't get like a double door style one. But I like that new fridges have like the freezer drawer on the bottom. I feel like that's like a game changer. Ours right now is like a, I think you actually pointed this out when we were watching Gilmore Girls. Our fridge looks like the exact before they do the weird like fancy retro upgrade at the house in the newer seasons. Like the classic older seasons, they have this really old looking fridge, and I think ours is from the same year as the Gilmore Girls one.
It does look almost exactly like that, yeah.
And then they have like that like upgrade later and buy like a like expensive looking shiny fridge that's vintagey.
They have like the weird one in like the reboot too, which was, looks like it's from like the 70s, but it's like shiny and weird.
Which, like, I kind of, like, I was a little surprised that Lorelai would be all into that. Because, like, you definitely get, like, she has her references and all that. But I didn't think, like, design-wise, she would really dive that much into that look. Like, I think all the furniture changed and everything. I don't think that's the main issue with the new seasons. No. So.
I also just think that, I don't know, the more I, like, rewatch Gilmore Girls, the more I'm just like, these characters are awful.
Oh yeah, especially Rory. Rory does not get better with age. Like,
one of my friends is watching it for like the first time. Like, she's never seen it, so she's on like season 4. She just started season 4, and I'm honestly like, look, if you make it till the end of season 4 and you decide to keep going, good for you.
What happens in season 4 again?
At the end, Rory sleeps with Dean.
Oh, he's very married.
It does not look good. So
the theory is that Rory becomes a bad girl because she, like, she wasn't really spoiled, but she kind of got everything she wanted from her mom. Then she got all the money stuff from her grandparents, so that kind of messed her up, basically, is what it seems like. And then she just, like, rebelled.
She stole a boat.
And then she, like, got away with it. She had to do probation, and that was it.
And community service, and that was kind of it.
Yep. So she definitely benefited from her family name.
So it just shows privilege. Old money privilege.
She's a nepo baby.
She is. And it's really hard to sometimes like her.
Yeah. Because it's like, she has this personality where she doesn't act like she's a nepo baby, but you, like, find out she is, but she's very innocent, so it's kind of, like, a frustrating combination.
Yep. Well, it's, like, so I don't really like the character Logan. I don't really like any of the guys anymore, except for maybe Jess, but That's a whole other story. And I forget what episode it is, but I think it's the episode where Rory finds out that her parents got married. And, like, she writes, like, this article about, like, a party she went to with Logan. And he's calling her out on all of her bullshit. And she's not taking it well because she also doesn't take criticism very well. Never really been criticized before.
That time she freaked out because of Logan's dad. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, you might not be a good journalist. And then she's like, what? And then, like, loses her mind.
And then steals a boat. And it's like, if that were me, I probably would have done the opposite where I'm like, fuck you. I'm going to prove to you that I can do this.
She just like, goes crazy because this guy she doesn't even really know critiques her.
Mm-hmm.
Gilmore Girls tangent. That is her namesake originally.
Yeah, well, it's gonna happen occasionally. So buckle up, people.
So today, I guess I went in a different direction again. Have you seen the movie Catch Me If You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio?
A long time ago, but yes.
So do you know that it's based on an actual guy?
I do. And did you know that there's also a musical?
I learned that from doing this. It said that at the end of the article. Yeah, that's a little weird, but okay.
I did not see that musical. But I know the music from it.
Is it still going or did it end?
No, it ended a long time ago.
Makes sense.
But it did have Aaron Tveit in it, who is also in the movie Les Miserables, and he's like a big Broadway person. He was just in Moulin Rouge. He originated the male lead of that show. So
I would see that too. I like the movie Moulin Rouge. So, yeah, so the guy's name who the Leonardo DiCaprio character is based off of is Frank Abagnale. He gained notoriety around the world for his fraudulent crimes, and instead of spending the rest of his life behind bars, he was actually hired by the FBI as an expert on forgery and document theft. So, for people who haven't seen Catch Me If You Can, and it actually came out 21 years ago at this point, which is crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Frank was known to impersonate white-collar professionals, which led to a trial overseas. But apparently not everything from the movie is factually based. So Frank Abagnale Jr. was born on April 27, 1948 in Bronxville, New York. He was the third of four children born to Paulette and Frank Abagnale Sr. Frank said that he had a stable childhood and was very close with his father, but his father often traveled and became involved in local Republican politics, so he was usually very busy. His mother grew tired of her husband's long absences and decided to leave. This left Frank and his siblings feeling devastated, as well as his father, who apparently was still in love with his mother. But I guess they couldn't work it out, and his parents divorced. And Frank actually chose to live with his father and would accompany him on business meetings. So his father worked at a stationery store, so it seems like this was sort of the basis for how Frank got into writing bad checks and other forms of basically scamming and conning. As a teenager, he got into petty crimes, including shoplifting, but he soon grew bored of shoplifting and moved on to more sophisticated types of burglary. Frank's first scam involved convincing gas station attendants to give him a portion of a sale back in cash while using his father's gas credit card. But after a while, the scam fell apart when Frank's father got a bill for thousands of dollars to the credit card. Frank's mother sent him to a school for wayward boys because of this. And eventually, Frank decided to leave home when he was 16 years old. He had little money in his bank account and had no formal education. So he decided to alter his driver's license to appear 10 years older and exaggerated his education so he could get more work to earn money. He worked a few odd jobs, but chose to quit working and started writing bad checks because he thought this would be a way to get more money in the end. After writing hundreds of checks, Frank knew he would eventually be caught and went into hiding. So he decided to start, which is, this was like the basis of the movie. He started a whole new life by deciding to become a pilot. So instead of like going to school and training to become one, he decided to impersonate a pilot and basically learned how to become a pilot by interviewing a pilot from Pan Am and basically studied that interview. Called Pan American Airlines headquarters and told them he lost his uniform and he needed to get a new one. They provided a location for where to pick one up. And when he went to pick it up, he actually brought with him a fake employee ID to show. And he had the uniform charged to that fake ID. Frank learned about flying by pretending to be a high school student writing an article on Pan Am. He made a fake pilot's ID and FAA license. He learned how to impersonate a pilot, and because of this, he was able to basically hitch a ride anywhere he wanted around the world. But Frank's lies eventually caught up with him, and Pan Am and the police started looking into him. So then this meant it was time for Frank to start a new life. He became an out-of-town doctor in Georgia. He wanted to impersonate a pilot, then he wanted to impersonate a doctor. But Frank was so believable that he was actually invited to visit the local hospital. He became a regular visitor and actually got a temporary job at the hospital. But Frank left his job after a while. He bounced around working other odd jobs for 2 years. He continued moving around and landed in Montpellier, France. At this point, he was not committing any scams because he had recently cashed $2.5 million in bad checks. But a former girlfriend one day recognized Frank's face on a wanted poster and she turned him into the police. So Frank served time in France, Sweden, and the United States. His father died during this time, and Frank was granted parole after a few years from Petersburg, Virginia. The government approached Frank and proposed an arrangement. If Frank taught the FBI his methods of scams and cons, he would be freed. So this prompted a working relationship which lasted more than 30 years between Frank and the FBI. Frank earned the reputation of one of the world's experts on document fraud, check swindling, forgery, and embezzlement. He actually started a company called Avignale and Associates, which teaches people how to avoid becoming fraud victims. And it seems like he actually regretted the movie Catch Me If You Can because he wanted to move past that part of his life. So that was kind of interesting. It seems like he's kind of like embarrassed about it now. So maybe he's actually reformed. So that's the story of Frank Avignale.
And he's obviously still alive. And
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a website and everything if you want to go on it. When I looked him up, like his website popped up. So he has this business and everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good that, like, I think he's probably realized, like, that he did more harm than good. And he wants to kind of, like, you know, change that. But also, like, that is kind of what you get when you impersonate, like, a pilot and a doctor and all of these things. Like, you are probably going to get noticed and are probably going to get, like, a movie or something out of it.
Yeah, it's like if you really want to fly under the radar, like, probably don't impersonate a doctor and a pilot.
Also, the fact that he, like, got away with impersonating a pilot is insane because being a pilot, it's not easy. It's a lot of training. It's a lot of, like...
That's the scary part. Yeah. Like, he must have been intelligent to be able to do all this. Mm-hmm. And also forging checks and everything, too.
Yep. So, I think with how everything turned out, he did kind of get really lucky. And I'm glad that, like, he feels like he turned his life around. So, but, yeah, he is still going to be recognized from Catch Me If You Can, because that's still a fairly popular movie, even if it has been 21 years since it came out.
I just remember Tom Hanks running around everywhere.
Oh, yeah, because he played the
FBI guy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then the really sad scene where Leonardo DiCaprio's like, I just want my father's approval or whatever. And it's like Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then he's outside the house and he looks in the window and his father is like enjoying, or no, his mom. Mm-hmm. His mom is like doing Christmas with her new family. And yeah. He's like, but I'm your son. And she's like, I don't recognize you. And then I think it shows him getting arrested immediately after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, if she tried to send him to, like, a reform school, clearly she was trying to steer him away from the path that he took. No, definitely an interesting topic. Definitely different than what you usually do.
Yeah, and there are so many other people like this as well.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah. There was another woman I almost did that I'll probably do at some point from, like, the 70s, who, like, she's more kind of, like, charlatan-y. Like, you don't know how old she is. You don't know her real birthday. You don't know what her real name is. Like, she's, like, she was that Inuit, so
wow.
That could be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like don't know. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, it's basically your whole life's a lie, mm-hmm. like, at that point.
Yeah. So I'll move on to my topic. So I got this idea from another podcast. I think it was on one of their like really early episodes. And that podcast is Real Life Ghost Stories, which is also on Spotify, which I've referenced many times before. So the topic I picked this week is the Green Children of Wolf Pit. Don't know if you've heard of it or them.
Are they gardeners?
Not exactly. So, basically, it's a legend of two green children of Wolf Pit that started during the reign of King Stephen in England, and this was around the mid-12th century. Wolf Pit is actually an ancient village in Suffolk that was named after essentially a pit that they would use to catch wolves. One day there were people out and about near a particular wolf, an actual wolf pit. So they estimated that this was around 1150. And a group of villagers came across these two young children who had green skin. They were apparently speaking gibberish and they were acting very nervous. According to the writings at the time by Ralph of Cogshall, the children were essentially taken into the nearby home of Sir Richard de Calne, where he offered them food, and they repeatedly refused to eat. This continued on for a few days until the children came across some green beans that he gardened, which they would eat straight from the ground. It was thought that they actually lived with him for a couple of years. While they did live with him, he was basically able to slowly convert them over to eat normal food and basically teach them things that they needed to be taught in order to be able to have a regular diet, and then eventually be able to speak English. They did eventually lose the green complexion of their skin. Once they were actually fluent in English, they were asked where they had come from and why their skin was once really green. So they responded, and I quote, that we are inhabitants of the land of St. Martin, who was regarded with peculiar veneration in the country which gave us birth. They were not really sure how they arrived there to Wolf Pit. they really only remember that on a certain day when they were they were helping their father feeding, I guess, flocks of sheep in the fields. There was a really big sound that they heard that they weren't accustomed to hearing. And then they heard bells chiming. And whilst they were listening to that sound, they became on a sudden as if it were entranced, and they found themselves amongst the fields where they were reaping. So basically, because they were in a trance, 1 minute they were in the world that they knew, and the next minute they found themselves in our world. And shortly after that, they were then baptized in the local church. And unfortunately, the boy did die at a very young age, though they're not really sure why. So it was just kind of left as like an unknown illness. The girl, who actually became known as Agnes, continued to work for Richard D. Cohn for many years before she married the Archdeacon of Ely, Richard Baer. And according to one report, the pair had at least one child. So there has been kind of some debate on to where these children may have actually come from, if this legend is true. The most likely explanation for the green children is that they were maybe descendants of Flemish immigrants who had been persecuted and possibly killed by King Stefan or even King Henry II. They may have just been very lost and confused without their parents, and they could have just ended up in Wolf Pit just speaking their native language, which would have at the time been Flemish, which may have explained to how the villagers thought that they were maybe speaking gibberish. Furthermore, the green tint to the children's skin could have been explained by malnourishment, or more specifically, as we know today, as green sickness. And this theory is supported by the fact that their skin reverted back to a normal color once Richard D. Cohn had actually helped them eat real food. That is the story of the green children of Wolf Pit.
What country was that?
England.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Suffolk. Today, Suffolk. So, like, I should know this. Like, a little bit north of London, I think. Maybe northwest of London.
How old was that again, the legend?
Supposedly, this happened in 1120.
Hmm.
So, a very long time ago.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's like some kind of sickness.
Mm-hmm. Yep, some kind of malnourishment. How they didn't speak English because they may have been speaking Flemish or another language at the time that obviously nobody else would know, because very few people learned, essentially, or knew, essentially, more than one language, especially at that time. So, but if you look at the photo, which I'll send over to you, which will be included in the post, it really is an interesting photo of how they're portrayed. Because they definitely look, I don't know what the word is, like, kind of like, they remind me a little bit of, like, elves a little bit, like green elves.
Hmm.
So that's kind of where I thought it might have been going, as, like, maybe they were, like, elvish people or something. But I didn't think that they would have been Flemish or that they would have been lost or separated from their family. Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting tale.
It's always interesting to hear, like, how stories get passed down mm-hmm. and whatever, and how stories, like, that are that old are still talked about.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's the magic of folklore, in a sense, because we keep talking about them, so they just keep getting passed down, and they change a little bit, but not a ton. Yeah. I just thought it, you know, was a different, interesting story. I've never really heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Really, wherever podcasts are available to listen. We do drop a new episode every Thursday. If you want to send us an email with either scary stories or ideas that you want us to talk about, you can email us at oiwiththeterroralready@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at oiwiththeterrorpodcast. You can also find us on Facebook at oiwiththeterroralreadypodcast. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.